From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. I hope all of you had a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving holiday. Appreciate the chance to take a little hiatus. Obviously not from work with the situation going on, but with it's really loud. Wake you up this morning with the news of a new head coach. Matt Luke named Ole Miss's head coach permanently, the interim tag coming off. So obviously that will be the topic of discussion today on the show. You can check rebelgrove.com for plenty of content. Neil and I each with reaction commentary, as well as I posted a couple of the thoughts on the message board. We've got some Twitter reaction. We've got how recruits and commitments reacted to the news as well as some basic items on contract and his hiring as permanent head coach. So that's the topic for today. The press conference is this morning, 11:30 in the Manning Center, in the team room. It is not open to the public. It will be available on an ESPN platform. They were not sure what that was going to be last night. However, it will be available on an ESPN platform. So the podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember, even though football season is over, still doing free gas Fridays on Friday. They're going to give free tanks of gas away for anybody following Oxford Exxon on Twitter at Oxford Exxon. So keep doing that. Keep getting a chance to win there, as it's an easy way to get a little help in your work week. You can also get lunch specials, $4.99, ribs, and more at night. So check them out. Clean, convenience store, good gas prices, and more at the Oxford Exxon. And again, it's been coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You're going to get a great vehicle. You're going to get great service after the sale. And everything that you could possibly want in a car buying experience. Once you get your quote, it's really up to you. You can shop it around if you'd like, or you can be quick. You can go ahead and enjoy your great deal and get on with the rest of your holiday season, not having to worry about car shopping. 662-257-1900 is the number. And at the end of your deal, tell Corey, say, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts, and it is $500 off. Again, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com.
So a lot going on at Ole Miss and elsewhere in the SEC. Not going to get to all of it today, as many of you are routine listeners. We will get to it eventually. A little bit of a narrative, though, with us. You know, we go from one topic to the next day after day. So it might take a little while to get through everything going on in the world of SEC football today, mostly focusing on Ole Miss. However, there's been plenty of movement elsewhere, too. Dan Mullen headed to Florida. Mississippi State now in a coaching search. Tennessee fans blocked the hiring of Greg Schiano yesterday, and they might have to pay him not to coach as they kind of reset.
They will have to pay him something.
As they reset their coaching search, Jimbo Fisher headed to A&M. Kevin Sumlin probably.
Is that done?
It's close, isn't it? I thought somebody reported it last night. Was that not right?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Somebody said it, but who knows on Twitter anyway.
They
are targeting and offering him 8 Brinks trucks worth of money. So.
Well, literally about $8 million a year.
Yeah. So, Kevin Sumlin, maybe Arizona State, it sounds like. So, anyway, a lot of movement. We'll get to all that as we get to it. Ole Miss beats Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl in what – it was about 90 hours ago. It feels like 4 weeks ago right now. But they beat Mississippi State 31-28. We had a reaction podcast to that, so you can find it on iTunes, on the site, and elsewhere. But the news of the day – it became obvious sometime early yesterday that Matt Luke had emerged as the clear favorite. He was named the head coach officially at 8:30 last night. They had a players-only meeting. They had gotten the staff and the players under the guise of an academic meeting and then announced it in the room last night. According to the Ole Miss Spirit, he's going to make around $3 million a year in this first year, increasing by $100,000 a year after that. And it's a 4-year contract with an automatic 1-year rollover. If you remember those rollovers, That's pretty normal in Mississippi contracts. Mike Bianco had one. Hugh Freeze had one this past year as well. However, it didn't it did not affect Andy Kennedy's status. So just there's kind of the thing with the contract, Neil. But as we move forward, we wrote about it, and what you see here is a fan base that is angry right now, a fan base that, frankly, is bordering on apathy, which is much worse than anger. This is a thread on the message board right now, and there's nothing more true. Any emotion whatsoever is a good thing. It's the lack of emotion that is a problem as this thing moves forward. It's in its infancy. Because it happens in every fan base and every day, Matt Luke's going to win some people over today when he talks at his press conference. But this thing was never going to be a press conference hire, in my opinion, Neil. I think that while that was important in a lot of ways, whether it's Matt Luke, Lane Kiffin, Charlie Strong, Mike Norvell, me, you, or the Easter Bunny, with the fan base crippled to the point it is right now, with the NCAA thing not over, with everything they've dealt with, this thing's just about wins at some point, no matter who it is, and that's not something that's going to be answered for a long time.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it was ever going to be about a press conference. As I posted earlier today, I don't like these press conferences anyway, no matter what. People are, who's going to ask the tough questions? Well, hopefully nobody. This is the wrong place for tough questions, in my opinion. You know, like when Tennessee has their press conference at some point when they name a coach, that's not the place to ask the AD about Greg Schiano. The place to ask Greg Schiano, the AD about Greg Schiano, is at a separate, either a separate press conference or in some sort of a one-on-one. So I don't, you know, today is about Matt and his family. And like you said last night, anytime somebody gets a life, because most of us don't achieve a lifetime dream. Most people's lifetime dreams don't come true. It's reality. Ask Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Matt got it. So today's about Matt Luke. It should be. It's a happy day for him. It's a happy day for his family. For Ole Miss fans who are upset about the results of the search, I would encourage you not to take it out on Matt Luke. There are questions that need to be asked. I think they will be asked. I don't think they're going to be asked today. I think they will be asked. They'll be answered. And it'll be up to you as a fan to decide whether you believe that answer, whether that answer is all spin or reality. Something changed over the course of the last few days, and I don't know what precisely it was. I doubt seriously that we ever completely learn precisely what it was. Because it's not like the Tennessee search or the Florida search where it's very easy to connect the dots. Like at Florida, for example, you knew they wanted Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly probably let them know late last week, Thanksgiving Day-ish, Friday, that, nah, I'm going to UCLA. So then they said, we got to find out about Scott Frost. And so they put the pressure on Scott Frost. And while Scott Frost, the person, is saying, I'm going to coach my team through the AAC championship game, His agents and stuff started, they had to give answers. Florida obviously got an answer from Scott Frost that we think he's going to Nebraska. Okay, what now? So for Florida, it was, okay, our third choice is Dan Mullen, who's about to take the Tennessee job. We got to move. It's not that clear at Ole Miss. No one ever really emerged as a favorite other than, I think you'll agree with this, there was a consensus that if they could get Willie Taggart, They would hire Willie Taggart. They couldn't get Willie Taggart. The end of the day, they couldn't get Taggart, so they had to move to the next group. I think Dave Doran at NC State was, if not the leader, a leader for a while. I didn't get the impression middle part of last week that Matt Luke was a candidate. I shouldn't say that. Was a leading candidate. Ole Miss wins the Mississippi State game on Thursday night. That's the emotion of that. On Friday, there were meetings. People were told at those meetings, when I say people on the staff, you know, you've got a recruiting plan that's been in place. You have to go execute the plan. We're going to do a search. There's some uncertainty.
Yeah, you're still employed.
You're employed. Go do your job. If you get another job offer that provides you with security and you want to take it, we understand. Just keep us abreast. I got the impression from those conversations that this was going to take a few days. Tuesday, Wednesday is what I thought.
Matt interviewed on Friday. Yes. He talked again on Saturday with Bjork, and then he had a meeting with Vitter on Sunday, if I'm correct on those days.
I think that is accurate.
Yeah.
So we started hearing, we heard a rumor about Saturday. This moves so fast that Saturday and Sunday feel like a week. We heard a rumor on Saturday that Bjork was in Raleigh, North Carolina. We couldn't confirm it. I asked someone familiar with the search outside of Ole Miss if that was true, and was told it's absolutely not true, because I think that person knew that Bjork was in Oxford talking to Luke. Then on Saturday night, I think, so it was a Saturday night that we started really kind of feeling like this is feeling like Luke.
Saturday night, we heard two rumors. And again, today's not really the day to go through all the minutia of what we heard for weeks. We'll do that. Trust me, just stay with us. But that's later in the week. We got plenty of time. You're here with us every day. We go for over an hour every day. So we got time for that. Today's not that day. But the quick version is Saturday night, we heard two things. One, we heard that Matt Luke had emerged as a favorite, and that there had been at least the initial terms of an offer discussed. I'm kind of willing to go that far. I don't really know where it went past that, but essentially that there was an offer on the table for Matt Luke as of Saturday night.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Yeah, that's right. The other one was a bunch of Chad Morris stuff that we never confirmed and is not true.
Yeah, that stuff never even felt right.
Yeah, I don't think so. So that wasn't true. I mean, like somebody told us, well, Chad Morris got into a Tahoe. It's always a Tahoe. Got into a Tahoe at the Oxford Airport at 5:45. Well, that'd be really hard since he was with my brother an hour before that in Highland Park. So unless they move really fast to get to Love Field and get to Oxford, that probably wasn't correct. But
SMU's got a lot of money, but they don't.
Yeah,
have
like I text Dylan, I said, "Where's Chad Morris?" And he goes, "Well, on the second floor of the whatever building." I said, "Okay, that's decent, good enough." So those were the two things, and then as Sunday got here, Sunday morning, there was a little more Chad Morris stuff, but that kind of dissipated pretty quickly. And then
there was no Dave Doran stuff.
No, nothing.
And so you knew at that point. We talked to some people familiar with that program who were like, man, no one's talking about that here. And I said, well, then it's not happening.
Yeah. Multiple people around NC State had no clue.
None. Just that he was renegotiating there.
Now he keeps putting that off for whatever reason, but obviously that's no concern of Ole Miss at this point.
Well, he's probably got a chance to get on Tennessee's list here in the next few days, but we'll cross that bridge later.
Yeah. So as of Sunday morning, when you find out Luke likely meeting with Vitter later in the day, that's when it all kind of started to move in that direction. And then the thing that Neil put on the board yesterday, and what put it over the top, where probably could have written it at 11:30 yesterday morning, yeah, felt really good about it,
yeah,
but that wasn't responsible. We needed a little more and finally got it around 7:30 last night. But you asked multiple sources, and I'm not talking about just Ole Miss people, I'm talking about it in general, and you mention anyone else, and you get these quick answers, and you get comments, and you get, no, 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 this has happened, this is where he is, this is what happened. And then you ask about Matt Luke, and it goes silent.
Radio silent, man.
Yeah, just nothing.
Just,
I mean,
just dead.
I could have asked about, like I said, I could have asked about the Easter Bunny and got paragraphs of responses about what he's doing that day. But then Matt Luke is mentioned, and it goes nothing. Well, that doesn't take a rocket scientist or a sleuth to figure out where that is leading. It's people typically, at least good sources, they don't lie to you. They no comment you or stay away from you when they can't answer something. And that's where we were getting at that point.
Yeah, and then when you heard about the team meeting at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, again, they went under the guise of academics, which I'm not being critical of, whatever. But that made no sense.
No, like you said, I think yesterday that didn't pass the smell test.
No.
And it didn't, because teams have meetings all the time.
Yeah, tons of meetings.
Good God, teams meet. That's all they do is meet.
Yeah.
You don't hear about those meetings.
Yeah.
When you hear about a scheduled meeting.
Or a previously unscheduled meeting.
A previously unscheduled meeting that becomes a big deal, well, you know where this
is headed. Trying to get back, different things coming in. Because, there's a couple of players that were completely out of the state yesterday. They weren't even around.
And also, this isn't a criticism. People took this as a criticism yesterday. It's not. Ole Miss has an award-winning video media department.
They're one of the best in the nation.
It made sense that, and I also believe that Ole Miss wanted to break the story. And none of that is a criticism. I issue lots of criticisms. That's not one. When you knew that, you said they're going to get the kids in the room. They're going to film it. It's going to be an emotional reaction. And that emotion is going to be a way to help mend fences and get people excited. And get people past the search and on to the next page.
It was going to be a play out of the Missouri playbook when Barry Odom was hired.
Yes. Because it's a good play.
Yeah.
It works. That play works.
It works for multiple reasons. It gives you a really good PR moment. The players, they ran a campaign for Matt over the last few days. They were going to be excited. And then three, because of the players being excited and fans loving the players and seeing the players excited, that's not all of them, but that's going to bring over a few of the naysayers in this process. Because that's, from a PR standpoint, as this thing moves forward, Ole Miss's goal is just to kind of pick up 5%, then pick up another 5%, and then pick up another 5%, and eventually get this thing to work out. And now, as I said, this thing's really going to work out when Matt Luke beats Texas Tech next September. That's when you really start seeing anything. Because look, coaching searches should not ever be built on the short term. Ever. One recruiting class, one season, one player, none of that. That's not the way coaching searches should operate.
Right.
So this is about 19, 20, a 19 roster that frankly could be depleted, that you've got to hit some recruiting wins quickly in a 19 class. And you called a break because Dan Mullen's out at Mississippi State.
Huge break.
Yeah, huge break. So there's an opportunity there. Now, in all that being said, because of the staff at least in place, they probably do – whatever relative nature this is, probably salvage a little bit of this 18 class just because some relationships are already there, and with Mississippi State out. There's a path there to respectability. There's not a huge tier they're getting to,
right,
but it can be okay as this thing moves forward.
Yeah,
so.
And of course, the wild card in that is the sanctions. You don't know what they're they're going to be, and I have no
clue. But again,
clue.
When you know them, you at least know them.
Yes.
Indecision and uncertainty is far worse than whatever is on that piece of paper, I guess. So,
how much do you think impending NCAA sanctions and the unknown of what they're going to be impacted the search?
I was writing a paragraph about this last night, and I was tired. I'd had a drink or two, and I was kind of just staring at the screen because I couldn't make my mind up. I was going back and forth in my head on what I really thought here, because I know everybody hates the word. Optically, it looks like a move where you would know something, but for multiple reasons in doing that.
No question.
It's what it looks like.
It is exactly however, what it looks like.
However, from my understanding of the process from the very beginning of covering this, it doesn't really fit the protocol for multiple reasons. A, the NCAA is not doing Ole Miss any favors, so they're not leaking stuff to the school, in my opinion. Again, could be wrong. Well, I don't think so.
I think you're probably right.
And two, you don't find out the actual penalties to the morning they are released. The way this thing works for every school that gets sanctions is the day before or 24 hours before, or however you want to define it, they're told, hey, this thing's coming tomorrow. Just be prepared. Get your stuff ready. Here's what we're going to do. And then about 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. the next morning, you get an electronic copy, and they probably put something in the FedEx machine, and you get the sanctions, and you get about 2 or 3 hours to go through them and formulate your own responses before the NCAA releases it publicly themselves.
On their website.
Yeah, that's how it works. So, no, while I understand the reasoning for thinking that, I do not believe it played much of a factor in it. unless Ross just has a feeling in the back of his mind. But concrete, tangible evidence? No, I don't. I really don't.
So here's the two questions that fans have the most, and I think they're both legit.
We'll get to those in 1 second.
Okay.
First, tell you that the podcast, by the way, I really appreciate everybody's becoming a running joke on Twitter as we tell you about Tyson drugs. We're getting some really good feedback when I make any type of double entendre on Twitter, so appreciate that. TysonDrugs.com. Give them a call at 662-252-2321. To pick up Sildenafil, it is the $10 version of that $50 or $60 little blue pill. Helps you out just the same, even quicker. 15 minutes to get you ready. Same length of effectiveness. And again, only $10 to get that. They'll deliver it to you if you're not local. So head to the website, fill out the form, or call them and give them your doctor's name. They'll get the prescription ready. That's TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321.
We're also brought to you by Vitamend. They're the sponsor of Neil's Picks. Neil did really well on Neil's Picks this week. Exceptionally well. It's almost like Neil's Picks loaded up on little blue pills and just...
Why would you spend $50 extra?
That's right. I didn't. I spent
$10. Everybody keeps getting confused. The stupid pill. No, sorry, it's not stupid.
It's not a
the
stupid pill.
The pill is $10, and it is white, and it can be broken into quarters, halves, or the entire pill.
Well, Neil's Picks loaded up on white pills, didn't break them in half, and just popped them.
You plowed through picks.
Plowed through picks. Vitamin 3010 Old Taylor Road in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments. It's next door to LaPel's Dry Cleaning. It's still the same IV and shots as before, but they've added the cryosauna, which is great for removing inflammation, toxins. It speeds up your recovery from a workout, burns calories, and more. They've added the infrared sauna. It removes toxins. It's detox, but it's not a typical dry sauna. This one only gets to about 140, so you can stay in longer. They've got combo packages. They've got a smoothie bar, all natural foods, no added sugar. Open Tuesday through Sunday, so give them a call tomorrow, 662-638-3600. Send them an email, make an appointment, info@vitamend.com. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give Romero a call, go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews. And then if you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, let Romero take care of you. Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. My 10 weekend thoughts went up yesterday. They're somewhat obsolete now, but it's still some reading material, a lot of links and things that you might be interested in. It is at rebelgrove.com. They're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. You can send Harry an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com.
So one quick thing. There is no deal in place with Jimbo Fisher. That was somebody, an idiot on the internet that was wrong. There's rumors of a handshake agreement, but as a couple people said this morning, Jimbo Fisher still denying. He refuses to talk about it, and no one knows anything. So anyway, your two questions. Go ahead.
Well, along those lines, it's actually a terrific segue. Jimbo Fisher has a game to coach on Saturday against ULM.
He does.
That slows the search engine down a little bit nationally. We explain why Florida had to move fast. Florida had to move fast or they were going to lose Dan Mullen to Tennessee. Why, in your opinion, did Ole Miss move Sunday? This is... feels like the conversation that we had about LSU last year, and I'm not comparing Matt Luke to Ed Orgeron. I'm not. But I don't think Matt Luke was giving Ole Miss a two-day ultimatum. Hey, if I don't know by Tuesday, I'm taking the X job. I don't think that was happening.
Because it doesn't even appear that the South Alabama job is that far along yet, where that's even a possibility for that situation.
Dan Mullen, through his people, was able to give Florida somewhat of an ultimatum. If you're going to hire me, I need you to hire me today.
Or I'm going to Tennessee and coaching against you.
Because Tennessee has offered me the job.
Yeah.
So Dan Mullen had a position of strength. Chip Kelly was able to tell UCLA, if you're going to offer me, because otherwise I'm taking the Florida job.
Yeah.
I don't believe Matt Luke was in that position, and the fact that this is his dream job, I think he would have waited. Why in your opinion, did they move on Sunday?
Okay, first, to be balanced, Ole Miss's PR statement on this, and I don't mean PR negatively, I mean literally Michael Thompson's statement on this.
Okay.
Is that when you have your guy and you have an early signing period, there's no reason to wait. Okay, that, again, pointing that out on Twitter, I read through his mentions last night and his replies, and one of the things he said was, well, when you make a decision and you know what the decision is, there's no reason to wait to do it. Okay, fair enough.
Okay. And I'm not disputing that as fact. I did not get the impression in conversations with multiple people.
And I agree with you here.
Saturday, that something was that imminent. I thought, like I said, Tuesday, Wednesday, I did not
I thought it was quicker than you did.
You did. You thought it was Monday.
I thought it was Monday. I thought it was going to pop today. I thought that they were in a home stretch phase as of Saturday morning, frankly. And I think they were, looking back.
You think Saturday, the belief there
I
was,
think the decision was made sometime Saturday, yes. That's my opinion.
Matt Luke.
That's my opinion. I don't know. I mean, and it's not really a cop-out. I think that's one of those things that kind of takes time for me to decide what I really, really think as I talk, because my opinion's kind of changed over the course of the night and not really in a strong way one way or the other. I do think there is some truth you might as well do it. I think that if you're going to hire Matt no matter what and you're getting your sanctions later in the week, potentially, Ross Bjork told the players last night he had no idea when they were coming, by the way. But if you're getting them later, I think it's relative, but I think it gives Matt more of a position of strength to be named the coach prior to sanctions than after. I do think that could play into it from a situation, and frankly, it just makes it what it lends the belief of is they were either told no by someone else and Matt was just the next on the list, which is very possible. I don't know. Or there wasn't any candidates left to vet or nothing to wait on. So, I mean, that's where I think it's a mixture of this. I don't think Michael's lying. I think he's telling the truth as of for whatever situations it was entailing at that moment. Matt Luke was going to be their choice, and if that's the case, there are some PR reasons why you go ahead and do that now prior to whatever comes later in the week. I understand that.
Sure.
But no, your point being, yeah, Matt was always going to be there, at least for the next couple weeks. Or week. We'll say the next week for sure. I don't know what some of these other schools are doing. But probably for at least the next week. And it does, it's easy to relate to Ed Orgeron, and it's not fair to frankly Matt or Ed personally at all. They both use turnkey. Turnkey getting a weird reputation right now over something that it probably didn't suggest or control. I don't think LSU or Ole Miss hired the candidates that turnkey recommended.
I think that's safe.
Or at least suggested, or however that works. I don't know. I've never been in a meeting with a search firm, but however that works. Ole Miss spent $137,000 on a search firm,
which
is
not much money.
No, it's not a huge number. Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there. That was something else Michael had last night.
Yeah, there were people that were saying they spent $2 million. If you're getting $2 million on search firms, I'm going into the search business.
Yeah, $137,000 pocket change.
Because holy hell, I've talked to enough people in the last month to feel like I was in the search
business. And frankly, I think that look, what Ole Miss does with it is their decision. Either way, that's not positive or negative. I do think turnkey did its job. It talked to a ton of people.
Yes.
We've heard over the last few weeks that through Ross or turnkey or however you want to define vetting, interviews, conversations, that's up to you and its semantics. They talk to double-digit people easily. So turnkey fulfill their obligations.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, they let you get a lot of information without having to go actually get the information.
Right.
Not that you're just that simple, so that it doesn't get reported, hey, so-and-so met with so-and-so, where it turns into a massive story.
You're hiring researchers, intermediaries is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and you and I didn't talk about it, really haven't talked about this a lot. I saw some people on Facebook Twitter, social media was cruel last night. Toward Matt, I mean, it's not fair.
No, it's absolutely not fair to Matt.
Shooting the messenger as in Matt Luke is completely wrong. Whatever it is you guys do, whatever it is that is your goal in life, let me offer you that job and offer you $2.5 million to do it or $3 million to do it. You're going to say yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's where someone said, you know, I hope you guys are going to be fair. It's kind of like, when have we not been fair to him?
We've complimented Matt Luke throughout this process since August. I mean, you led 10 thoughts with him last week in a complimentary fashion.
Completely. Yeah. I don't think I've said a derogatory word.
No. What I'm getting at here, this is a nuanced, complicated thing because of the anger and the whatever synonym of optics is, because I'm tired of using that word, of Ole Miss paying a top 12 salary the last time they hired a coach, or last time Hugh Freeze was on staff.
Yeah.
And then paying much less for someone who had not been a head coach prior to this year. That it has a look to it, no doubt. It has a look to it. And then when you hear other guys being interested that, to the average fan, have very palatable resumes for the position, is a way to put it.
It's this simple. People say, and this is probably fair.
Okay, go ahead. Because I think this will parlay into where I was going.
People say, no other SEC school would have hired Matt Luke at this point. It's probably fair. I can't think of one right now that would hire Matt Luke. People say if Matt Luke had not gone to Ole Miss, had not played at Ole Miss, he would not even have been a candidate for this job. Probably fair. Now, as you said, that's really nuanced because Matt was put in his position on July the 20th and
and
handled it really well. Now, if you were to go back to July the 19th before that, the truth is he has a year of head coaching experience now on his resume.
Yeah.
Back on July the 19th, he really didn't have any true coordinator experience on his resume. I know he had that title, but he was not really the coordinator.
Yeah,
he was a run game coordinator. What all that stuff? Basically, Matt was a highly tenured offensive line coach,
yeah.
And that's not criticism, people. It's just not. It's the truth. So when people say, if you'd gone back to say July the 4th of last year on Independence Day and said Matt Luke's the next head coach at Ole Miss, people would have said, "Wow, so 5 years down the road."
Yeah,
that's the deal, and so people. People are upset at what appears to be a very provincial move.
Okay, so playing into that, two thoughts. First one, look, Matt being a former Ole Miss player, being a very beloved member of the community, that played into a lot of vocal support locally.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was majority support, but it was very vocal support. Let's put it that way. You and I talked about that nuance yesterday as we were writing.
It's almost impossible to judge what a majority is.
Right. So there's no doubt about that. However, I think in some ways, again, this is it's a fine line here. Being the interim coach, unless you say he was named the interim coach because he was an Ole Miss person. If he was just the best possibility for the interim position, I don't necessarily believe that him being a former player had a huge impact on the hire, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I think the interim coach was going to get that type of pull given everything around it, no matter what his degree on the wall said, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's probably
okay. So where I was going back with the beginning of this,
because Orgeron wasn't an LSU grad. Now, he's a Louisiana guy.
Yeah. So the second part of this, and this is where I'm eager to sit back and observe as this thing moves forward. Ross Bjork, Michael Thompson, whomever else. I mention those because they're always the ones out at the forefront of this. Not dumb people. people who have elevated themselves and their careers to a pretty high level, they have hitched a very large segment of their careers, or at least Ross. I mean, Michael's in a little bit of a spot because of Stephen Ponder and whatever, so it's more Ross than Michael. To Matt Luke, to this decision.
Well, that's true.
And from a hiring standpoint, from a pressure on Ross because of the fan backlash yesterday, from pressure on Michael because he's the marketing guy that's got to sell this to fans and stadium experiences and all those things, they made a hire that is unpopular with at least a percentage of the fan base. They didn't make an easy hire. I've heard the word easy a lot. This was not an easy hire whatsoever.
This was my column.
I mean, this is not easy for them.
No, this was as risky a hire from their standpoint that you can possibly make.
Yeah.
Because if this goes badly, it's on them.
Yeah, so no matter what their reasonings are, I'm sure we'll hear some of them in a press conference and we'll talk to people, whatever. Whatever those are, they believe in this because there's a ton riding on this more than just Ole Miss's 2018, 19, and 20 football seasons.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, this thing is far-reaching from how it affects multiple things and frankly, a university because, with all due respect to academic people, I mean, the head football coach is the face of your university. It affects tons of things, and they made a very difficult hire that – only the scoreboard and a signing day roster is going to tell us how it's going to work out as time moves on.
This is why when people have asked me, and I know you've gotten this a lot, you get it a lot more than I do, people ask me, are you surprised? Yeah. Yeah, I am. And I'll tell you why I'm surprised. Because the last two, three home games-ish, there weren't a lot of people there. It wasn't full. It wasn't exciting. There was a difference in the air, and I thought, you know what, they're going to read the tea leaves, and they've got to go give this thing a big steroid shot. They've got to go out and bring in a fresh face and excite people, and they didn't. And I don't know whether that's because they couldn't. You saw here's part of the problem, too, in these deals is that people got excited about Taggart for a few days. New, exciting, stuff like that. Even yesterday when I wrote somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but I mean I was being serious about Lane Kiffin. I knew Ole Miss wasn't hiring Lane Kiffin. But the thought of Lane Kiffin got people excited because it's new, it's exciting, it's different. That's why I said hiring Matt Luke is a gamble. Because if it doesn't go really well, a lot of people are just going to say, man, it's more of the same. Why do we do this? It's continuing the Hugh Freeze era in some ways. It's totally different. It's a new chapter. It's a different deal. But Matt was part of Freeze's staff for 5 years.
But a part of three Ole Miss staffs.
And, yeah, but part of that one. And if Matt doesn't make a lot of staff changes, it's basically Freeze's staff with a different guy at the top. And so a lot of people are going to say it's stale. I thought it felt stale. Not Matt, but just the program in October and November. And I was surprised that it ended like this. I thought they would go out and do the fresh air thing. Now, in fairness, you know, when we wrote about like Dave Doran, for example, people said, yawn. It's David Cutcliffe, revisited. It's boring. I don't know that he would have been an exceptionally popular hire.
No. From a excitement on September 1st standpoint, my opinion.
Yeah.
Matt's going to have a press conference today. He's going to finish better in recruiting in the short term than any of those other guys would have finished, in my opinion.
Agreed.
On the board.
Yes.
Chad, Dorn, those dudes.
Right.
He's going to finish better than any of them. He's going to get a spring game that I'm going to go under the assumption that transfers are minimal as I say this. A quarterback competition with interest around the program because of some of those things. There's going to be at least probably a new staff member or two just because that happens.
Well, the Patterson thing will now go a long way towards kind of some of the enthusiasm or lack
thereof. That's what
I'm saying. Yes.
So as this stuff goes on, he's going to get a Rebel road trip. They're going to go all over creation in the spring.
Sure.
On September 1st. He's
going to win the spring game.
Yeah.
Everyone wins the spring game.
Where I'm coming back full circle as far as our very beginning. He's going to have more excitement on September 1st when they open against whomever it is. Texas Tech
at Reliant Stadium.
Yeah, yeah. So when they open,
or NRG, whatever.
When they open that weekend, he's going to have more excitement around the program than Dave Doran, Chad Morris, or any of those dudes would have.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons and a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes back to. He plays Texas Tech. Then he plays Alabama. No, there's a game in the middle. He's going to win a game in the middle. He's 1-1 against Kent State. Then they play Alabama. Then they play somebody else. Then they play LSU. Then they play La Monroe. It's kind of back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Right.
And then he could be 4-2, or he could be 3-3 after those first six. And then that's where I'm kind of going here. How are they recruiting for that 19 class? Have they been able to pick off some of those state commits? Have they been able to grab a few guys from that are not committed right now? They did a little bit of that yesterday. They got the Jernigan kid out of Tupelo, a wide receiver, defensive back, whatever he is. That's a Russell territory. How are they going right there? The next critical juncture for this program is what happens from about mid-October to February of that year. That's where this thing first starts getting at least a little bit of a picture to in its short term, and this is still not overly fair to Matt because it's so new. But that's where the picture really starts to take shape on how much of a success, failure, and how we start to grade this thing.
Oh, I completely agree that February of 2019, whether it had been Matt Luke or anybody else, that was going to be the first judgment day, if you will. You know, a president starts and people judge after the first 100 days, they judge after the first year. Well, his first 100 days, if you will, in my opinion, it's February of 2019, on that signing day. What's in that class? At that point, you obviously will know what they did in 2018 on the field.
Right.
Of course, the wild card in all of this remains the NCAA thing. I mean, there's just absolutely no way to completely talk about it without talking about that. But, yeah, that's where that'll be the first moment where people will be able to say with some degree of empirical data, hey, this was a good hire, or this didn't work, or I don't know yet. You'll be able to say something somewhat definitively. But you're right. Look, it's November the
27th-ish.
Okay, I'll play off track. People are going to – it's the holidays. People are going to chill. I think Christmas is 4 weeks from today. People are going to chill. They're going to do their holiday shopping. They're going to get away from football because football's after Saturday going to take a hiatus for a few weeks. All of the fire will go away. Like you said, they'll have a recruiting class. I don't think anybody has any expectations for this recruiting class. So anything that happens positively will be viewed as a big win. Again, assuming the sanctions aren't just crippling and guys stay in the program, that there's not some rush of transfers, which I doubt there will be. In fact, at this point, I think all eyes are probably on one person. They're going to win the spring because everybody wins the spring. Kent State's going to win the spring. LSU's going to win the spring. Texas Tech's going to win the spring. And Ole Miss is going to win the spring. Everybody's going to win the spring. I've yet to see any team lose the spring. I've yet to see a coach go, this was a bad spring. We didn't get anything done. In fact, I think we took a few steps back. The spring game was a total disaster. I'm terrified now. We go into the offseason very pessimistic and worried. I've yet to see that
even
happen.
State a few years ago when they literally couldn't score in their own spring game. Hey, defense was great. Defense won that bitch.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then you go into the offseason and people get hungry for football. And the trips happen and stuff and the booster club deals and the people get together in Memphis or Jackson or Dallas or Houston or wherever.
Wives start planning tailgate menus and it all works out.
Everybody gets excited for football.
Yeah.
And then you put a product on the field. And it's why people like you and me always say, well, you're in the scoreboard business. Because you're in the scoreboard business. and you'll have some games that you win, you'll have some games that you lose, and you'll have some games that
look,
swing
nobody
things.
Knows that more than the previous head coach, because a lot of the stuff that ended up getting Freeze, not the numbers exactly and stuff, but just in general, that stuff was rumored forever, but nobody really cared they were in New Orleans beating the hell out of Oklahoma State that night.
No one cared until they lost that 2016 Egg Bowl so bad.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, man.
Suddenly it became a big deal.
Big deal. Real big deal.
Yeah, Laramie Tunsil catching touchdown passes, and nobody really cares what anybody's doing.
So along those lines, here's the other question fans have.
Okay.
And it's a legit question.
Okay.
I'm not saying Ole Miss won the Egg Bowl because Nick Fitzgerald got hurt. That's too big. But let's say Nick Fitzgerald doesn't get hurt and Mississippi State wins the game 10 points.
Well, I mean, you don't have to do that. Say Dan Mullen decides to kick that field goal down there and they win it overtime 34-31. I mean, yeah.
Mississippi State wins the game.
It's still a three-point game.
Yeah. Mississippi State wins the game.
Okay.
Are we having this conversation today? Because I'll give you my answer. I've thought about it. Yes. I don't think Matt Luke got the job because he beat Mississippi State.
No, I think – this is going to sound crazy.
Okay.
Or at least in my head at the beginning, it sounds crazy. From an appearance standpoint, I think it would have looked better for Matt Luke had he gotten the job after losing that game.
I agree.
5-7 instead of 6-6. But while the players would have still backed their coach, there might not have been such emotion that was going on through everybody because, look,
Do you think that emotion impacted this over the weekend? I think it might have impacted Jeffrey Vitter. I don't think it impacted Ross Bjork. Not being serious. I mean, it's my honest opinion. If you told me that it impacted someone, I would say that it impacted Vitter more than it impacted Ross Bjork. Ross Bjork's been around enough athletics to know that late in seasons, teams are emotional.
Yeah, I do not believe that Ross Bjork staked his first major coaching hire that could follow him around forever off.
No, it will follow him around.
Yeah.
And he knows it.
Off player emotion and player calling after a rivalry game. I do not believe that. I just think Ross is smarter than that. I mean, I do too.
The reason I say that about Vitter, I'm not saying he's not intelligent, but he's not around athletics lot. And so he sees that. And I if you told me that swayed
him. Look, somebody who's never covered a program, been around a program, I get how suddenly the players go, hey, he's not our guy, I'm out of here. This, I get how it'd freak you out. I get it.
Sure.
But if you've been around things, like you talked about when Bill Oliver wasn't retained, when Joe Lee Dunn wasn't retained and Tommy Tuberville was hired here, all the players go this, yeah, it settles. Number one, head coaches are professional salesmen.
Yes.
They figure it out. They keep their team together.
Their staff is full of salesmen.
Yeah. A lot of salesmen. $1 million salesmen.
And they have meetings, and those meetings result in, all right, I'll give it a chance. I'll give you an example on Auburn. I mean, real quick, to set that stage, you have to understand that Auburn team went, I want to say, 3-8, maybe 4-7. They were not good. But one of the games they won was at Ole Miss. They came here and won. People, please don't hold me to these numbers because it's a gazillion years ago, literally 20 years ago. They won either 19-0 or 17-0, if I recall correctly. And if I'm way off, I apologize to anyone who might be offended. But I can remember in late November of that year, players saying, we like Coach Oliver. He's stuck with us. Because Bill Oliver promoted Jimbo Fisher to offensive coordinator. And Bill Oliver ran the defense and let Jimbo run the offense. Pretty smart move. And was good to those guys. The Bowden thing was chaotic. And when Bowden was out the door and the chaos sort of went away, they rallied, and they actually played pretty good football in the second half of the season. They didn't win because they weren't good enough to win some of those games. But I can remember players going, so you're going to fire you're going to fire Coach Oliver and hire a guy that we kicked his ass. What went unsaid was we didn't kick many asses this year, and that's the one we kicked. You're going to hire him? You're going to hire the Ole Miss guy? We kicked Ole Miss's ass. That's what they were saying. And they played the Iron Bowl on a Saturday, lost. They show up to campus on Monday, and Bill's not the coach anymore. And there's a few dudes hanging around, and they know all these guys are leaving, and it was chaos. You know, then they had Thanksgiving break. They're all scattered all over the place. Tommy Tuberville gets the job. They have meetings on that Sunday, and everybody stayed. The coach that they thought they would hate, he came in and wowed them, because that's what the coaches do, and that's what would have happened here as well. And Ross knew that.
Well, yeah, I mean, now look, that group was beaten down and battered, but if I have the memory correct, Hugh Freeze walks in 12, has that team meeting in the old team meeting room in the IPF before he goes over to the Ford Center for the big thing.
Yep.
And the two player interactions I remember are he made Cody Pruitt kind of look him in the eye, kind of did the, hey, look at me, yes sir, no sir, how you doing, we good, you know, kind of made him focus on him a little bit. Then he walked up Dante Moncrief, I'm right, and he goes, how many balls did you catch last year? Dante didn't know, or it was a low number. I mean, there was nobody to throw him the ball.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, my guy at Arkansas State caught 87 balls. You want to catch 90 balls? Yeah, sir, yeah. No, speak up. Yeah, I want to catch 90 balls. Dante's in. Hey, well, you got a guy catch 90 balls? 90 balls? I want to catch 90 balls.
He walked out of there.
It's all right.
He walked out of there. He wasn't completely in. But the seed had been planted.
Yeah.
Young kid, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's the stuff when people go, well, is he going to win the team over? Yes, they all win the team over.
You don't win the team over when over time you lie to them and they can't trust you.
Yes.
They could trust Matt Luke.
Yes.
They were going to trust the new guy because he's not an idiot. Whoever the new guy would have been had somebody else been hired.
They really liked Matt Luke this past season for two reasons. One, because he's genuine.
Mm-hmm.
He is. He's a genuine dude. And two, he didn't do some of the gimmicky crap that had gotten old. The truth is, the commitment ceremony and all that stuff had gotten old. And Matt didn't do that. Matt told him, here's what it's going to be, and that's what it was.
Show up, work hard, respect me, I'll respect you, and we'll go out there and play a football game.
Yeah.
Cool? Capiche? Right. All right.
What will also be interesting moving forward is now a lot of the emotion they fueled off of, I thought, this year. And I mean this, it's not negative. It's not negative. It's not positive. It's a statement. A lot of that emotion, you're not going to be able to do that year after year after year. You're going to have to develop a system. You're going to have to develop a pattern. There's going to be certain games, obviously, that are emotional games for different reasons, but you're not going to be able to feed off that every year. It will not. You can't do the no one believes in us but us. We're in this. We're on an island. That stuff doesn't work year after year.
No, I think
and I suspect Matt knows that.
I think
that
well. He'll pick his battles with that. I think it's going to become – I think in Matt's mind, it becomes a little blue-collar – let's show up, let's work, here's your plan for the day. Now let's joke, let's have some fun in just a normal way. I think it's going to be, and I don't mean this negative, the connotation's weird, I think it's going to be a boring program where there's not the fake enthusiasm, the manufactured enthusiasm. Let's just show up, and if organically we're excited, if organically we're pumped up about something, if organically we joke around for the day, great. But let's not walk in with a script that says, oh, I must constitute a laugh at 12 p.m. I don't think it's that. I think it's going to be a more normal program without some of the bells and whistles. But we'll see. So
I'll tease this, then we'll pay some bills. I said all year it was my opinion that if Matt Luke had his druthers – and he now officially has his druthers, that offense was probably not the one he would run. So when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on what do they do offensively. I think Wesley McGriff will be the defensive coordinator, and defensively they'll be basically what they were. I'm sure they're hoping to probably infuse a little more talent. But curious to get your thoughts on what they'll be on the offensive side. Matt Luke's always been an offensive coach, and he's always been more of a in my mind at least, a guy that likes to physically get after it, coach. And that's not really the scheme that was in place. The podcast is also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. You should know that Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one when you get Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749.
Podcast also brought to you by Mastercuts Lawn and Landscape. It's time to get some things done around the yard and the house, including maybe it's time to build that fence, stone patio, deck, or other outdoor living area. You can see it all over town, all over the Country Club of Oxford and more. The Mastercut signs where they're getting work done with beautiful outdoor kitchens, fireplaces, and living areas. You can get a free quote for those things, 662-607-7773 or mastercutslawn.com. Sign an annual contract. Mention the podcast. First cut is free when you actually need a cut as the temperatures are falling. And again, if you still have some outdoor issues as far as leaves, they'll hook you up there as well. They'll clean fence lines and more. So, again, MasterCutsLawn.com, 662-607-7773. Okay. I really have no reason to go on this. I have no source. Gut feeling. It made me list staff members potentially being replaced, moving on, whatever. Longo would be somewhere toward the top of my list because there's not a lot of recruiting ties to this area that he has to kind of stabilize himself. And two, yeah, I don't think Matt wants to become Alabama and run it up the middle every time, but I do feel like he wants to, his past at least is more of a pro-style tendency than maybe what's going on right now. Yeah, I buy that. He also has a best friend in the business that he might give a call to try to bring back.
So do you think Phil Longo stays or doesn't stay? Gut feeling. You know, not being held.
Yeah,
to
no,
it.
I know. I mean, I'd lean not stay, but again, I have no source on that.
Yeah. I don't either. I tend to agree.
If you told me a lot were staying, I think McGriff stays. I think Peeler stays. I think Roach stays. Off the top of my head,
I think Nick stays. Okay. I do. I think Pavito stays.
Jason Jones?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think Bicknell stays.
I do too. He's done a good job. That was a good hire.
Yeah, he did a really good job.
Yeah. Matt had very little time to.
I actually thought McGriff did a good job. They got better. They were limited on what they had.
See, that's the thing with McGriff. Look, could some things have been better? Sure. With any coach anywhere. Yeah, I get that. I understand the frustrations that I get on my phone throughout every game. I understand them. I get it. You're right. We don't know what McGriff's going to do because he doesn't have a full collection of talent yet to work with. I don't know what his scheme is going to look like when he gets a complete SEC defense. No offense to anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know that next year is the year for that. They lose Taylor Polk and DeMarcus Gates. They've got to replace people at linebacker. So,
no, I think it's safe to say they're probably taking a step back defensively next year. I'm being honest. Probably lose Breland Speaks. They lose Marquise Haynes.
Yeah.
They lose talented players. Those were not the last couple of recruiting classes, great defensive classes. They weren't. Am I allowed to say things like that? Is that okay? I mean, that's the truth.
Haven't signed enough linebackers. We've talked about that for a while.
I mean, I'm sitting here right now thinking in my head, who are their six linebackers next year? And I don't know that I can name them. Sanagu, I'm saying his name incorrectly, I apologize. Sanago, I think. The kid from Louisiana that redshirted.
Z Baker. Willie Hibbler, Jerry
Evans.
Street.
Yeah, Street, Evans, Hibbler. I mean, it's hard to come up with a lot of linebackers.
Ben Dukes is gone, I think.
Yeah, I think he was – maybe he was a junior. I can't remember. They don't have a lot of bodies there. So, you know, I mean, when I say the defense takes a step back, I do. I think initially the defense takes a step back. Offensively, they ought to be one hell of a football team next year, assuming they can find someone who can replace Jordan Wilkins' numbers. Glossed over in all this coaching search stuff, Jordan Wilkins had one hell of a football season.
Yeah. Their linebackers that are coming back, Josh Clark, I actually kind of like him, but he's young. Jerrion Street. Picking only scholarship guys. Dante Evans, Willie Hibbler, Z Baker, Brendan Williams is back, Sanogo, Dietrich Bean Dukes. That's it. That's your linebackers for next season, at least on the current roster. You're going to see some JUCO guys come in. Multiple positions.
I would think. They got to be careful with that, but yeah, I would think so.
They got to sign a quarterback in this class.
Yeah.
Got to add a quarterback. Tomo has 1 year of eligibility left.
You're not going to get a JUCO quarterback if both quarterbacks stay. Mm. I mean, not a good one.
Yeah.
You might get some kid who goes, hey, you're offering me a scholarship? Okay, I'll take it. Yeah. But you're not getting a good one.
Chad Kelly's not walking in this door.
Well, no. I mean, a kid that has, say, 7 D1 offers.
And I get that Ryan and those guys were on the roster, but that's not Shea Patterson.
Right.
So you want me to come in and play with the two dudes that both throw for over 400 yards? And no, I'm good. Yeah. That's all right.
I think keeping them both happy is going to be difficult enough.
Yeah, forget another JUCO dude that
you've
got to throw.
Throwing another dude in there is just not real. That's not realistic.
Yeah. So we'll see. 2 commits yesterday. Russell, ton of recruiting, so check rebelgrove.com for that, obviously. Jimbo Fisher said it was not time yet to comment on any openings. No.
He's got till Saturday.
He does.
He's got till Saturday. I guarantee you his agent's working it.
Take a guess who's Mississippi State hired.
I don't even know where to start.
You just get to throw a ball on the roulette wheel, and if it hits, great. If it doesn't, I'm not holding it against you. I'll even give you 2.
Okay. Neil Brown. Who would the second one be? We're probably talking about the same pool, right? Man, I don't know. Neil Brown or Frank Wilson? Frank Wilson's recruited the state before, maybe? I don't think he's ready for this. I think Neil Brown is. I think Neil Brown's a really good coach. From talking to people who know Neil Brown, Neil Brown's a rising star potentially. 37.
I'm going to go with Bill Clark or Pep Hamilton.
Ooh, who's that?
The Michigan passing coordinator. He's been all over. And I'm going to go wild card based on what they feel about some background. Jeremy Pruitt.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm nuancing what you said. Yeah, they'll have a decision to make there.
Yeah. Steve Robertson already saying this morning that State is likely another school that's not going to be interested in Mike Norwell.
Give a little credit to Steve Robertson over the weekend. He did a really good job covering the Mullen situation from Thursday night on.
He was very measured. from best I could tell. Yeah.
I could watch their postgame thing on Thursday. I went, ooh, he kind of thinks he's leaving. I thought he was leaving. When I see
Steve was the calm guy in that group Thursday night.
When I see the Dan Wilkins and Pete Tamils of the world say that, that a guy's leaving, yeah, probably leaving.
Yeah. Tamil said that, and I went, oh, okay.
Got a few minutes left. Your thoughts on what happened at Tennessee yesterday?
It's nuanced.
And help me with a little background here, because I was not following this yesterday, okay, and I don't follow Clay Travis on Twitter. Hell, I'm not even on Twitter anymore.
Okay.
What did Clay Travis do to get it stirred up, or did he do anything?
Clay has a very large following, and from a Twitter situation, I do think he probably had an impact. He listed John Curry's contact information. He was incredibly vocal yesterday, being anti-Greg Schiano. Let's end this thing. Let's jump on it. Kind of got a mob going, okay, toward John Curry. Okay. Tennessee has the craziest social media fan base in the country, no doubt. They're psychotic. They're state with much larger numbers.
Okay.
Actually, probably crazier. Publicly, I think they had a big part to play in it, but I think that as it at least became public that Schiano might have had more off skeletons in his past from different things. I don't necessarily think Twitter is what made that decision. I think a lot of boosters, a lot of people that were already not happy with the decision, I think they made calls that carried a whole lot more weight than Vol for Life 84 did. Because you screw up making too many decisions off Twitter. It's too small of a sample size. It's the internet's version or the social media version of a message board. It's not fair to put accurate representations of numbers and percentages based off Twitter at all. It's right. Companies allowing Twitter messes affect them by itself is not a way to go for anything. But I do believe that boosters, people that did have places at the table, said, no, we can't do this. We've got to stop it. Curry, you're not understanding this, 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 and this. I think because John Curry also, you know, at one point tried to put Leavitt in at Kansas State, despite all his South Florida mess from back in the day. I think Curry's the guy that goes, hey, the pass is in the past. You've been okay the last 18 months, and you're going to win. I'm good with you. Yeah. And I think that doesn't play well with a lot of boosters, a lot of different fan bases, especially if they already have an inkling they don't want the guy anyway. It's great ammunition for them. So I think that's what came into play yesterday, is I think there was not Vol for Life. I think a lot of people that actually have real say said, no, we've got to stop Curry from doing this.
But do you think it's because Greg Schiano was just not who they wanted, or do you think it was the Penn State thing, or do you think they used the Penn State thing as an excuse to go after Schiano?
The last one.
I do too.
Yeah. It gave them great cover to go that direction. It prevented Curry from winning a PR battle on, you guys are just crazy, I'm picking my guy.
Those people really wanted John Gruden.
Because they were lied to. Every media outlet throws him on a stupid hot board, and then they go, well, let's go after John Gruden. And then when they can't get John Gruden, it's like, well, y'all been talking about him for months.
It's why a lot of these things are run in secrecy. And I get the secrecy. I do. I understand it. Because if I'm going for another job, I really don't want it talked about everywhere. Because if I don't get it, then I've got to, you know, you don't want – I get that. I do, totally. But, man, sometimes the secrecy can bite you in the ass. They wanted him. They were going to get Mullen, and then Scott Strickland, who did not want to be the guy. Scott Strickland did not want to hire Dan Mullen, not because of Dan Mullen. Scott Strickland didn't want to hire Dan Mullen because he didn't want to be the guy that took Mississippi State's coach away. He was willing to let John Curry be the guy that took Mississippi State's coach away because he was going to get Chip Kelly, and then he was going to get Scott Frost. But when he found out he wasn't going to get Scott Frost, he knew he was about to get in that political machine at Florida where Jeremy Foley was going to step back up and go, hey.
I know a guy.
It didn't work out, did it, Scotty? What do you think about Charlie Strong?
Yeah.
Because I know Charlie. We go way back.
Yeah.
And Scott was going to say, I don't want to do that. It's not what I want to do. It's going to be your hire and my ass.
Yeah.
So, no.
I know Dan. I can work with Dan.
Dan's hard to work with, but I've worked with Dan, and Dan wins.
And Florida likes Dan.
And Dan's been here, and he has, he knows people.
And his Twitter picture is going to have Tim Tebow in it, and we're going to be all right.
He and Tebow are tight. He'll come put in an offense. I'll give him more money than he had in Starkville. Going to be all right. But I got to get this done right damn now.
Yeah, so when Jimmy Sexton calls and he goes, hey, Scott, look, Tennessee about to pop here. So if we're going to do something on Dan Mullen, then we better get this thing
Jimmy
done.
Jimmy Sexton was able to tell Scott Strickland sometime Saturday, so here's the deal. He's got an offer. We're about to take it. Are you going to move? Because if you're going to move, probably now. You know what, or get off the pot. And things moved.
Yeah.
So, but at Tennessee – when they didn't get Mullen, see, I think they hit the panic button. All right, take a step back. We got time. It's just Saturday. It's just Sunday. We just got through getting our ass kicked by Vanderbilt. Yeah. Let's take a step back. Let's get it right. They panicked. It's the question that Tennessee fans have is, why are we going so fast on Greg Schiano? Exactly. It's the same question that Ole Miss fans have on why did we move so fast on Matt Luke? And there might be a perfectly legitimate explanation, but until fans get it, they're going to be irritated. And so I don't know what Tennessee does now. Do they pay the buyout on – I mean, they're going to end up spending a lot of money on this. Because you're going to have to give Greg Schiano at least a couple million dollars
to go away.
Because you dragged him through the
– Yeah.
You dragged him through hell. And now you got to go pay – Matt Campbell's buyout?
9.2.
Or do you go hire Neil Brown? Do you go –
Mike Leach.
Do you look at Mike Leach? Do you look at Dave Doran? What do you do?
T. Martin.
I love T. I do. I've known T a long time. I don't know that T's ready to be a head coach. That is a big step. I've seen T's name mentioned at South Alabama.
Good spot.
And that would be a really good spot for T.
Yeah.
And I like T. He's a good kid. Good, not a kid anymore. A good I like T a lot.
Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year. And all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting and understands your market. Also, leader in condo financing in Oxford. So ask Community Mortgage about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. You can find Jason Lowe at 662-234-2704. Or J-Lowe, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by the Oxford Park Commission. Youth soccer registration is ongoing. It'll go through December the 15th. You can go to oxfordparkcommission.com. You can sign up if you played last year, if your child played last year, ages 5 through 16. He or she can get back on his or her team from back in the fall for just $30. If you want to be a new player, you can do that too. Registration's $55. The season begins in February. It'll run through early April. All the games are played out at gorgeous FNC Park, where you will go out and you will walk on the grass and say, why can't I make my lawn look this way? Again, oxfordparkcommission.com. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, it's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great lease deals, tremendous service, just wonderful people there at Grenada Nissan, GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And the podcast is brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a five-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. We'll have some information to you this week about Ole Miss basketball. I know the Ole Miss men play tomorrow night at 7. Tickets at the Pavilion. Tickets are available at olemisstix.com.
Dan Mullen and family headed to Gainesville this morning. I see he's tweeted a picture of them on the plane.
Yeah.
He's got an XMI Platinum tie, it appears. He's got a little blue and orange in it, ready to throw on for the event.
Sure. Congratulations to him.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's not liked here, and he's involved in the NCAA thing, and God only knows where that's going to go over the next few weeks. But
he kind of went,
had to be. I mean, had to be so happy to get the hell out of there. Had to be so happy to get the hell out of there.
Yeah. He had run that thing to the max in a lot of different facets.
9 years. Long time.
Well, all the NCAA stuff, too. Like, I mean, it was time to go.
Oh, it was time.
Got a great life raft to move on with the day.
You knew when he lost that game Thursday and didn't – in previous years, because I was telling Chase, I've covered now 10 Egg Bowls as a beat writer, 5-5. So Dan Mullen – went 5-4, is that right, in my 9 years covering?
I guess that'd be right, yeah.
Yeah. So I've seen Dan Mullen win the Egg Bowl. I've seen Dan Mullen lose the Egg Bowl. And in the past, when he's lost, there was an air of, whatever, we're fine, whatever. It was pissed. He was not pissed Thursday night. He was fine.
He lingered on the field. He talked to a lot of his players. He just kind of hung out for a little bit.
And then that press conference, he was fine. Well, and I said, he's gone.
Megan walked over to him, and I've seen a lot of the in-state games. She always finds him, quick kiss, hug, how are you, let's speak to the kid and move on. He bends down and kind of talks in her ear for a second. And looking back, I almost think he went, hey, I'm going to hang out for a minute. And then he's almost trying to rush to make sure he gets a player. Then he remembers, oh, I was kind of rude there. He went back, gave her a kiss, and kind of patted his kid on the head, then walked off again. But, like, he went over to his kicker and really had a real in-depth conversation with his kicker, and it's like, you're going to see him on Monday. I mean, what's the deal there? I mean, you got a bowl game, whatever. But he did. He pulled several players off to the side and was very strange with them.
Even the Fitzgerald injury, the way that he went over and – comforted him and talked to him. There was something different about it. I could tell he was leaving. And then on Friday, when you started hearing he's got a Tennessee offer, Tennessee wanted to hire him Friday, and he pushed it back. And some people put out that thing, well, he interviewed badly. I went, no, that ain't it. And so you found out on Saturday what it was. And I think that's the job that he always wanted. He got it. Kind of like Matt Luke. You know, that's the job he always wanted. And he got it. And frankly, 9 years ago when he took the Mississippi State job, it was a hell of a gamble.
He should be applauded and get a standing ovation. He will be booed like a son of a bitch.
They play next
September
year, right?
September 29th in Starkville.
Holy cow. You guys are going to boo him, and you're going to boo Strickland and all that stuff. Dan Mullen did more for your program in 9 years. You should rename your field. Dan Mullen did more for your program in 9 years
than whoever Scott is.
Than most people do for any programs. And in this league, Dan Mullen did more for his program in 9 years than anyone not named Nick Saban did for his program. It's a volatile league. And Dan Mullen did not. I know he didn't have a winning record, but, oh, man, I'm pissing off the world today, so might as well. He maxed you out.
Dan Mullen's presence in Starkville put pressure on Ole Miss this time.
Yes.
As soon as he left on Saturday, Sunday, whenever it was, all running together, Sunday morning. As soon as he left on Sunday morning, I don't care who Ole Miss hired, could be Matt Luke or anybody, the pressure shifts back to John Cohen and Mississippi State like crazy because Ole Miss is a better job. They've got to figure out a way to stay competitive down there, because we talked about this, it's pissed people off, and again, appreciate all the listeners in the Golden Triangle. State's plan for success against Ole Miss is what it is to go 5-5, to break even, to make it complicated, to make Ole Miss focus more on them so they're focusing less on everybody else.
Yes.
Ole Miss's perfect path is to go 8-2, 7-3, 8-2. Make it where, yeah, you're going to lose some because you're just going to lose some in the SEC, but it's pretty clear where the tier is there. So the pressure is on John Cohen now to go out, make a hire, and if he does that, then we'll probably continue this thing in whatever direction we're going in. But nonetheless, that is where we are. We'll pick up on plenty more SEC talk throughout the week, more background on the Ole Miss search, obviously whatever happens today at this media event, and more. Again, it's on an ESPN platform. I'm not sure which one. 11:30 is where you can find it on your television or computer or whatever they're doing with it. And then we'll have reaction at rebelgrove.com. Tons of content up. Again, check rebelgrove.com. It's also Cyber Monday for any new subscribers, any podcast listeners, or just thinking about taking the plunge. You sign up today, use the code Cyber99, Cyber99. You get $99 in team gear straight off of that. So take care of that, sign up, and we will talk to you again soon.